This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Scriptures again. I just want us to read out the first scripture out of Hosea chapter 6, and it's verse 3. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Hosea 6, and I want to read verses 1-3. It says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain on the earth." Hallelujah. Just think about that whole issue of rain and latter rain there. You know, just naturally speaking, nothing grows without the rain. You know, the spring rains that cause everything to be soft and the seed to spring forth and waters the seed so that it can spring forth. And then the latter rain that causes the plants and the trees and that to really bring forth all the fruit that God wants them to bring forth. Well, in the similar way, spiritually, God has talked about the former and latter rain that he was going to send. He said, "I'll pour out my spirit." That's when he talked about the rain. He said, "I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Our sons and daughters shall prophesy. They'll see visions. Old men will dream dreams." It talks about revival, where God is bringing people back to him. But the part that I want to really focus on there is those first two verses. It's talking about Jesus Christ. His 3 days and three nights, he was in the tomb, and on the third day he rises again from the dead. Well, because of all that he has done, we're not only saved from our sins. You know, we look at the cross and think, what an incredible demonstration of the love and grace of God, that Jesus died for our sins. He paid the price so that we could be cleansed. His blood cleanses us from all sin. But God's plan is much more than that. He didn't just cleanse us from sin and say, "Okay, the debt's paid. Now just do the best that you can." He's got a greater purpose than that. You see, Jesus rose from the dead and went right to the throne of God on our behalf. In fact, even right now in the book of Revelation, John has a revelation and he sees right in the middle of the throne, in the midst of the throne, and all those incredible angelic beings, he sees a lamb standing as though it had been slain. He's Jesus who became flesh. He took on himself the form of a man. He stood as our representative, a people, a whole people that were cut off from God, had no hope, no future in God. We were cut off. And no matter how hard we tried, our best efforts, the Bible said, are like filthy rags. So he paid the price completely for us, but he's now at the very throne of God interceding for you and for me. What's his prayer? You know, when he comes back, what's he coming back for? A bride. All right, what does the Bible say that this bride has to be like? What was that? Spotless. You know, when we talk about nobody's perfect until he comes back, well, he's not coming back until he comes back for a spotless bride. So, however that fits into your doctrine, you better fit it in, because that's what he said. And is interceding for you and I, not so that we can just cope, not so that we can just get by, because he has made us more than conquerors. He has made us like him. The Bible here says, let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. You know, that I met my wife, Bev, and we got married. And there's a journey of getting to know. The Bible actually says that we become one flesh. One flesh. Well, the Bible says that whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So he's begun this work to transform us, you and me, into his same image. That's what he's wanting to do. He's going to transform, and he has said, as surely as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What does that mean? He's going to see this whole earth filled with sons and daughters that look just like Jesus Christ, just like him. Then he's coming back. Then he's coming back. That's why we've got to press on to know him. One of the greatest things that we need to know, first of all, is to have our eyes opened. You know, I've always been struck by that story that in Luke 24, you know, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. How many don't know that story? Put up your hand if you don't know that story. Don't be embarrassed if you don't. Good on you, Michelle. Love you, sister. All right, Luke, let's just look at it. We need to read it. Luke, I'm trying not to put my glasses on. My Bible is such that I could just about use it by Braille. That's all right, we're going to read it again because it will do us good. This was after Jesus had been crucified. And, you know, the disciples were thinking, well, that's the end. They were devastated. They were hiding away. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what was going on. This was not in their thinking. Even though Jesus told them that he was going to do that, when he did tell them what was going to happen, it just like it went straight over the top of their heads. They couldn't hear. So this is after he was crucified and before they knew that he was risen from the dead. It says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk along and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at a table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Do you know that the whole church is, you know what the church is built on? It's built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Well, we didn't know that our situation was really as bad as it was. We all had this thought, well, if I try harder, you know, if I get on a self-improvement plan, maybe I can please God. And God said, "Not there is not one good, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory." Right? And so we couldn't accept. We said, well, what we need a prophet, somebody who can tell us what to do. We need a miracle worker, somebody who can heal all of our diseases and solve all of our problems, remove all of our mountains. That's what we need. And when he started to do those things, they said that we've got it made. We need somebody who can provide all of our needs, who can feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. That's what we need. And yes, Jesus met all those needs. He healed, he restored, he provided. But the real need of every man and every woman was greater than that. We must be born again. That's the only way, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and died for us. He paid the price for our sins, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so that when he died, every single one of us died. There's your problem solved right there. There's my problem solved, your problem solved right there. And so when we're baptized, what do? When we go under the waters, we're burying the old man. And when we come up out of the water, we come up and we're risen to a new life. Our new life is what? It's in Christ Jesus. And isn't that the excitement and the joy? You know, we'll go around, "I've found the Lord." Well, actually, he found us. You know, he had to put huge roadblocks in front of us. You know, everybody got distracted. You know, we get detours. You know, they're working on a road or something. You get a detour and you get lost because you're trying to follow these detours and you end up the creek somewhere and get lost. Well, God has to do that with us. He has to put roadblocks in our life. We're heading our direction, we're doing our own thing, thinking we're doing the right thing, and he puts a roadblock in front of us, and so we realise that, well, we can't go any further that way. We've got to turn around and go a different direction. Well, I look back at my life and I see all these roadblocks that God put in front of me, and I'd be always trying to work out to get back to where I was going in the first place. God was just trying to get my attention. You know, it says in the scripture, he says, "Don't be like a horse or a mule." You've got to put blinkers on their eyes, a bit in their mouth, so that you can turn them wherever you need them to go. So don't be like that. He wants us to hear his voice and know what he's saying. So when I, you know, everything I tried fell in a heap, there was only one option left, and that was to cry out to God. How lousy is that? You're my last resort, God. But praise God for his incredible love and mercy. And he revealed himself to me. And he became the love of my life, the joy of my life, the strength of my life, the focus of my life. And that's what happened to those disciples with Jesus. He found them. Maybe he healed their diseases. Maybe he restored their lives at a certain point, and they were following him. And they're going great guns. This is all we needed. And he said, no, you need to be born again. And I have to go to the cross to do that. And think about those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They, when Jesus was crucified and buried, it was like, well, that's it. That's the end of him. You know, I've got to look somewhere else again now. How many of us, we start our Christian life and our hearts are just on fire for Jesus. They're burning for Jesus. And we're seeing him everywhere. We see him when we pray. We see him when we come to church. We see him while we're at work. We see him and we hear him everywhere. It's amazing what love will do to you. It's amazing what love. I would recognize Bev from a long way off. Why? Because I love her. You know, have you ever talked to people that are car enthusiasts and they can recognize a particular model car? I'm not even sure it's a car, and they've recognized and identified the model. Or a fisherman with fishing gear, or somebody who likes motorbikes, that sort of thing. They can recognize what they love from a long way off. What happened to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus that they couldn't recognize Jesus anymore? They couldn't see him. He was right there. Do you know that Jesus is right here? There's a river flowing here. Jesus is right here. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. You know, the issue is, do we recognize him? Can we see him? Do you know, Paul prayed for the Ephesians church. He told them all that Jesus had done, how he'd laid down his life, and God had raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand with all power and all authority. And then he talks to the church and he says, and you, he has quickened and made alive together with him. What does it say? If we've been united with him in the likeness of his death, baptism, certainly we shall be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. That's the truth. Can we still see that? Can we still see it? Can we recognize it? He's risen from the dead and he is Lord. He has the keys of death and hell. And so he prays for the Ephesian church. He said, I pray. I haven't stopped praying for you that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? Press on to know who? In the knowledge of who? Jesus Christ. And he says that the eyes, isn't it incredible? The eyes of your heart. Oh, we got eyes. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, this people, they've got eyes. They've got ears, but they haven't got a heart to see or hear. It's amazing how clearly you can see something when your heart's there. These two disciples on the road to Emmaus had hopelessness in their heart. They had discouragement in their heart. And I want to ask you today, where is your heart? Can you still see the Lord in everything you do? Doesn't it say in Proverbs that it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? Recognize him, that he's in all of your ways. Everything you do, he is right there. Acknowledge him, see that he's right there with you. And then what does it say? And he will direct your path. He will guide you. How many of us are crying out to the Lord, guide me, guide me, guide me? Well, he doesn't want to do it by putting a brick wall in front of you. I get saddened when God does amazing things like that. But I get saddened when I hear, you know, God closed that door in front of me So I knew that wasn't where the Lord was wanting me to go. Ah, the horse and the mule job. How long has God got to do the horse and mule thing with us? He said, my sheep hear my voice. They hear me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. What's he doing? He's actually, as we begin to walk with him, we get changed. We get changed. You see, Christianity is not a list of, okay, you fulfill this set of rules and you will graduate to the next level. You'll get deeper knowledge, secret knowledge. And then when you fulfill that, you'll go to another level of your... No. God has... He wants a relationship with the smallest... Didn't he say that? The new covenant, he said, they will all know me from the least to the greatest. Little babies can know him as well as the wisest man in the world. In fact, Jesus is walking along the road with his disciples and... you know, the 70 he sent out, he told them to heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. And they're coming back. So, Lord, the devils in your name, they just go. And they're incredible. They're full of joy. And he said, that's great. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But he said, don't rejoice that devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's recorded your name there. That's where your name, that's where my name is. And you know, he said, this one knows me. I know this one, and this one knows me. Let us press on to know the Lord, because as you walk with him, that you get to know him. Well, can I guarantee that your path is going to be rosy? No, I can't guarantee that. You know, Peter, the apostle, wanted that. He's, when Jesus is talking about certain things he's going to do, he's telling Peter, he said, Peter, when you get older, you know, right now you're going wherever you want to go, but when you get older, people are going to grab a hold of you and lead you where you don't really want to go. But it's my will for you. And Peter says, well, what about that disciple? What about Pastor David Selye? What are you going to do with him? What about Stephen Leonard? What are you going to do with him? Mark, Melissa, what are you going to do? And you know what Jesus said? What's that to you? What's that to you? You follow me. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, God has good for every one of them. All the paths, not some of them, all the paths. So whatever your path is, the Bible says, Psalm 25, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and testimony. What's his covenant and testimony is Jesus Christ. He's my Lord, he's my Savior, he's your Lord and your Savior. And he said, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And the path he has for your life is absolutely perfect for you. Absolutely perfect. It's a path where he is going to transform you from glory to glory, because his purpose is to transform you into his same image. So the path you are on is a good path. That, what does it say? Path of the righteous is like a shining light. It gets brighter and brighter until that perfect day. What did Jesus say? He who follows me will not walk in darkness. There might be trouble, but what did he say? Don't be troubled. There might be persecution. What does he say? Rejoice. He adds to it. He says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. There might be difficulties. There might be all of those things. But it's not the path that gives you your greatest joy. It's the fact that you're following the Lord. He is the joy and the strength of your life. You know, think about all those Psalms where people get into difficult circumstances and they have to get their eye back on the Lord. And that's why I pray, the eyes of our heart will be opened. that will know the hope of our calling in him. Every one of us, our calling in him is to be like him, is to actually see his glory manifested in each one of us. Do we believe that? Is God able to do? Haven't we sung that song, immeasurably? How do the words go? He's immeasurably more, and the scripture says that. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Here's what it says in John 1 John 3, that about the love of God that's on us. It says, we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him. Wow. We're going to be like him. So just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were blinded. They couldn't see Jesus was right there with them. What? Because of hopelessness, because of discouragement, because of all that happened. I want to ask you, can you see Jesus? Is he clear in your vision? Lift your vision high. Lift it high. Lift up your eyes. The eyes of all look expectantly to him, and he opens his hand and he satisfies the desire of every living thing. Have you got that expectation in your eyes? Think about when you see something that you love, it does something to you, doesn't it? And that's what God, he wants us to love him with all of our hearts. That's where real revelation comes from. It doesn't come from you accumulating even as much Bible knowledge as you can. That's good, but that's not revelation. Is revelation of the heart. It's seeing him. Isn't it John? Isn't John, the Apostle John, the one that leaned on Jesus' breast? Why was he the one chosen to give that revelation of Jesus Christ and all that he is going to do? And he's sharing that with us. He's the one that's always telling us, you know, love God, love one another, because that's what opens our eyes to see. And that's what Paul prays, that the eyes of our heart would be opened, that we would see. We've got to press on to know him. And I use that word, we've got to press on to recognize him. Now, God has revealed himself. Jesus has revealed himself to every one of you. He's already done it. He's already shown himself to you. You've got a testimony. You've got something where God has spoken to you. It might be some amazing coincidence or a miracle or whatever it was. Or he's just touched your heart. Your heart started burning within you at one time. And so it's there that he revealed himself to you. You know what our fight is to hold on to that, not let go of it. Not, oh, what good's that to me now? Because that's a treasure. Do you know, part of the, when King David's got all the Levites and that to worship God and praise him, he challenged them and said that one of the things that they had to do was sing psalms and worship the Lord, that they were to commemorate. That word literally means to mark. They were to sing songs that reminded them of how God had spoken into their lives. That's why it's good for us, you know, to continually be singing, making melody in our hearts, because that's where we see to the Lord. And so we praise him for what he has done. We praise him for who he is. Think about times where God's just revealed his love to you, and there might be some particular song that's connected to that. And you just sing those songs again. Get down and still before the Lord. If you can't see anymore, start to remind yourself. Think about King David. You know, here he is. He's surrounded by enemies. And he says, when my heart's overwhelmed, lead me back to the rock. He begins to sing songs. He begins to praise the Lord. I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. What's he saying? I'm going to see him. When I begin to praise him, then I begin to see him. And I begin to see again the things that he's saying to me, the things that he wants to do in my life. He is the love of my life. I will lock my eyes on him. The Bible says we're looking unto Jesus, what we're, the eyes of our heart, the author and the finisher of our faith. keep your eyes on him. Don't lose sight of him. Have eyes only for him. Isn't that, I mean, that's a lover's term, isn't it? You've got, how many when we were young? Anybody remember that far here, back? There's some that can't. You know, you're at school and you've got your eye on some girl or boy. And anyway, they don't even see you. They don't even see you. There might be obvious reasons for that, but there you go. They don't even see you. That term, eyes only for you. And we're the same with Jesus. You know, we've got eyes only for him. You know, I want to stir up that love in your heart, because that's where revelation comes. That's what the church is built on. It's built on the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, not just what he did, who he was, but risen from the dead, and he is Lord. He is on the throne right now. He is in the midst of the throne. He is the one who gave us access right to the very throne of God. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will come right to the very throne of God with a boldness that's not my own. It came because of his precious blood that was shed for me, that I can come right into the throne room. I can see the things that God is wanting to show me. There are things that the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, and it hasn't entered into the heart of man, but God has prepared them for those who what? Who love him. Who love him. Begin to love the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust him with all your heart. That's where it starts. I don't know, is anybody... has your trust in the Lord been somehow broken? Because, look, I think about this. Think about a little baby when a baby's born. Did the baby do anything to get born? Did the baby do anything for itself to be conceived, to grow, or to be born? Did nothing. It's born, but it's born into the arms of a mother who loves it. Think about what's been... birth right there, trust. You look at a baby in its mother's arms, absolute trust, total trust. And then this hunger. Yeah, that's why the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? Because we want to know him. And so a baby suckles the milk and it grows to know. And I always remember watching Bev with the babies, particularly straight after being breastfed, you know, their full tummies. And I remember the first time when Ben, Sarah, or Tanya, when they made they're making expressions. When newborn babies start to make an expression, how many weeks? About 6 weeks. They start to. I think it was about then. Anyway, and I remember watching. They just had a full tummy, just been breastfed. And then Bev will be gooing and garring, and the little baby will start to goo and gar. Or even a smile. Oh, that was, I'm sure it was a smile. You know, one side of the lip went up, and they start to express. There's an expression. You start to see a character. You start to see the baby responding to love. And so, first of all, it's trust. And then God's wooing us by his spirit, and then we respond to him. We respond out of love. And God wants you to do that again. Or maybe there are things in your life that have maybe come against that trust. Maybe you were disillusioned like the disciples on the road to Emmaus because you had a wrong expectation of what Jesus was coming to do. He's going to transform you. You know, I love reading stories like Job. You know, Job couldn't understand what was going on because he didn't know yet. God was wanting to reveal to him. You know, at the end, what Job said? He said, I've heard of you, God, by the hearing of my ear. But now my eye sees you. Now my eye sees you. And so God did such a work in that man. But in the midst of his trial and darkness and confusion, he didn't know what was going on. He was in danger of throwing the whole thing in. What's the good of me serving God? I tried my best every day. I'd get up and pray every day. I would offer sacrifice every day. I never did this. I never did that. I did all because I love God. But in the end, you know, in the middle of that trial, he almost spat the dummy, as it were. But in the middle of that, you know, he made this amazing statement, talking about your eyes, the eyes of your heart. He said, though worms destroy this body, I die and worms destroy this body, yet will I see God. My eye will see him and not another. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Isn't that incredible? And that's what God, we're in a generation now, we're in a time now where there's going to be such a great unveiling and a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's happening right now. It's happening right now where God is revealing things to us that the eye isn't seen, the ear isn't heard, but he's showing it to us right now. He who has eyes and ears to hear what the Spirit is wanting to reveal to us, to his church. He's wanting to reveal it because we are going to manifest that glory to our generation. Not just looking back and saying, well, I want the same as some previous generation, but there is a glory that Jesus is wanting to manifest to our generation. It's going to be you and me. I want to close right now. Can we stand, please? I want to pray. Oh, Josie had a word last week. And it was you know, the heart monitor, somebody on basically in hospital in a bad state and saw the heart monitor flatlining, in danger of flatlining. She had it again this morning and it was flatlined. Well, Jesus is risen from the dead and he's Lord. He's Lord. Nothing's too hard for him. He gives life to the dead. And I want to, anyone whose heart, maybe you've had discouragement, maybe you've had hopelessness, and now you're just treading water, now you're just trying to maintain life, and or maybe you're right at that point where you've flatlined. You've flatlined. You can't even see Jesus anymore. You can't even see what he's doing. You feel nothing in the presence of God anymore. You can come to a service and wonder what people are getting off on. What's happening to them? Why can't I experience? Why, when I read the Bible, doesn't something happen in my heart? Because God wants to revive you. Jesus Christ wants to open his word to you so that you will say, like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened the scriptures to us? He wants your heart to start burning with a fire of expectation, love, and revelation of all that he wants to do. If that's you, I want to pray for you. I want the church, we're going to close in prayer. Those that need to go, feel free. We will join you out there for prayer. For tea and coffee afterwards, but those who can stay in and pray, please do. If that's you and you want the Lord to touch you, just say, here I am. Because think about love. When I met Bev, I love Bev. And so to marry Bev, it had to be all that I am and vice versa. And God instituted marriage. He instituted it. He says, husbands, love your wives. You know, you can do everything. You can provide everything. You can do everything you need to do as a man. But if you don't love her, you're in adultery. If you love something else, something else, or not even doing it, but if you love there, that's adultery. That's why idolatry, it's loving something other than God. It's adultery. Put it aside. What I want you to do is you come up. The Bible says, present your body as a living sacrifice. That's it. Just, here I am. Isn't it funny how the Bible, you think we've got to get spiritual, and he says, present your body. Present your, because this body, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants to possess all you. Start with your body. Start right there. Okay, here's your body. I present my body. It's going to do your will. And then let him touch your soul. Go deeper. Let him touch your soul about what you think about, what you meditate on. Present that. Give that to him. Your thoughts. Give all that to him. And then you're going to find you're going to enter into the spirit where your heart starts burning when he starts revealing. There's a process. We start with the body. Present your body as a living sacrifice because of all that he has done. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you just where you are. He said, follow me. So let me pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. And I thank you for the work that you have begun in each one of us. We acknowledge again that you are right here, that you never leave, you never forsake, but you are at work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Lord, thank you. I pray no one's heart will be discouraged, no one's heart will fail them, but right now this morning that hearts will be set on fire because you are in us as a mighty, awesome one, and you will complete what you have begun in us. Lord, revive hearts, set hearts on fire, and the works that you've already planned for us to do, Lord, would be laid out and clear before each one of us that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Nombol Christian Fellowship.